Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm. or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo, I lost it. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in, where is it? Mingo. That's what I was going with today. Mingo.
Really weird.
Guess what?
I'm glad you were able to recover that.
Guess what county Mingo is in?
What?
You're going to kick yourself. It's in Tishomingo.
No. Duh.
There you go. Wherever you are,
it's in Tish.
Yeah. I know Tish. There you go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. It's going to be a great weekend for cooking out. And while Mississippi State's cooking the pigs, you can cook some cows on the grill. Make your beef the star of your next cookout. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is a place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Everything maroon and white is at College Corner, with the logos that you want, with the name brands that you want, all of the styles. It's all right there for you at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Thor by the Half Shell, or shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, get them from the folks at Priority One Bank, a bank that knows you by name, not by your account number. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Oh, hey there, Robbie. So, the SEC's epidemic of non-conference losses continues as we speak. Arkansas, just a couple hours ago, dropped the fourth game of a four-game series. They dropped game four of the series to Stetson. They split the series in the series with them. That had ended a streak, Robbie. I don't know if you saw this or not, of 34 straight home non-conference series that Arkansas had been able to win. This is the first one and since 2014 where they have either split or lost a series out of conference at home. LSU was 1-4 last week. Vanderbilt dropped a game. Vanderbilt dropped a game to North Dakota State, who was 1-13 coming into that game. The Commodores already have 7 losses on the season. Florida dropped 2 games to High Point this past weekend. We've seen Georgia dropped a midweek game. They've 2 weeks in a row, the Georgia Bulldogs have dropped a midweek game. The conference doesn't appear to be right. There's only 3 teams in the conference right now that you would say they don't have what you and I would call a bad loss, right? That's Texas, which doesn't have any losses. There's Mississippi State, lost to number 1 and number 7 in the most recent D1 poll. And then you have Ole Miss, who lost to, I think Coastal is 16th. And Baylor, not ranked or anything like that, but that's not a loss to just go, God, what happened, right? LSU, it's unbelievable. They were 1-4 last week. They dropped 11 spots in the poll. We've said, in football, the SEC no longer the power conference. Basketball, I think the SEC was third in the last time I looked at the conference RPI. It doesn't seem like it's that good, though. I feel like the SEC is very mid in basketball this year. And now we have baseball. What's going on, man? What is happening?
I just think this is the volatility of the transfer portal era. I think this is what you're going to see in every sport. I think people look at it and they say it's a an SEC thing, but it's happening in every conference. I mean, it's just, you look at the dominance of the SEC, and they've won what, six straight national championships, whatever it is, with five different teams. But you're just going to see more up and down, more roller coasters as time goes on, just because this is what you get whenever you have a bunch of teams that have new faces coming in and things like that.
Narrator dialogue. Okay. Button.
What
Narrator.
is happening?
Exiting narrator.
I don't know
Is
what I
Stephen
just did.
talking?
The computer was talking to me. Wait. I don't know what I'm sorry.
Thank you for interrupting me.
Continue.
Also, there's something wrong with your microphone. It's like muffling out or something, but I don't know. Maybe it's on my side. I don't
Is
know.
this
We're
better? Do you like this?
still not great, but hey, we're live, pal. We're live.
We're live. We're
I
live.
just think this is just what you're gonna get in this day and age whenever you have the rosters fluctuating the way that they are and NIL and all that stuff. And listen, other teams out there are taking it serious, and I think the game is starting to grow, and you're starting to see more competition across the way. So I'm not really concerned about it. I think it's just something you got to get used to. I think it's just going to be difficult to have that dominance in this conference like you used to. But one thing that I would say is got to be a good feeling for state fans is to this point, you have not had those performances.
That's where I wanted to go next is why is it do you think that, and I asked Coach O'Connor about that. We'll go to my interview with him in just a few minutes, but in your opinion, why has Mississippi State been able to avoid these landmines that other schools have not? Because it's not like we're saying, if you want to say, yeah, but State hasn't played anybody. LSU has four quad four losses right this second. Vanderbilt lost to a team that was 1-13. It's not like these other teams are playing powerhouses and losing. They're losing to these bad teams.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that they have so much veteran leadership on this team. We talked about the volatility of you're having the changes in the roster and things like that. And I certainly think that State's not been totally unaffected by that. You take on UCLA and you have some issues in that ball game. You fell behind in that ball game and you didn't close it out. Same thing happened at Southern Miss, and that's the first time State's been playing in an atmosphere like that at Southern Miss. But in both games, the leadership that they had and the maturity that they had allowed them to get back in that ball game and have a shot in both of them. And it's allowed them to, in these midweeks and against these teams that you would consider lesser opponents, they haven't overlooked those teams. They've come out and they have not laid an egg like some of these other squads have. And really, they haven't been in danger in any of those ball games. Like, there wasn't a game where State had to come back from two or three runs down in the ninth inning and have a big comeback. There were some games where they had to hold on, earlier on against like Hofstra. But for the most part, State has taken care of their business against the teams they're supposed to beat. And that's always been my thing when talking about how Mississippi State has a path to being a national seed or hosting in the NCAA tournament. It's always been about beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Don't have these midweek losses where you're scratching your head, what happened in that ball game? You look at the teams that Mississippi State has had over the years that have been set up well in postseason play. And, most recently, I look back at 19 and 21. Both of those teams dominated their non-conference opponents. They didn't lose many games they weren't supposed to lose. Like you look at that 2021 season, they had a couple of losses in non-conference play on the weekend. You look at the Tulane series, you look at the Kent State series, and then they lost a game in both of those series. But even though they weren't playing very well, they found a way to win those series, and they won, I think, most of their midweek games. 19, they lost one of three to a top 20 Southern Miss team. And they won, I think, every single non-conference game that
That was
year.
the only non-conference loss that year, correct?
Both of those teams were national seeds. And they didn't go win the SEC. That when you do that non-conference play, it gives you so much more leeway when you get into conference play to go 16, 17 wins and have a chance to host or be a national seed. So right now, State has done a very good job of setting itself up for SEC play to have a lot of success going into the postseason and to set themselves in a good position for hosting, for being a national seed. This is the first step for Mississippi State. Now it's about to get a lot tougher. It's about to get a lot tougher for them, where they're going to have to go to some very difficult environments, like this weekend in Arkansas. They're going to have to beat LSU, and I know they've been struggling, but that's still a very talented team that's capable of competing for a championship. And every weekend's going to be tough. It's going to be a grind, and there's going to be a lot of losses in there. And State fans along the way are going to be, upset about some of those losses. But prepare yourself. There's going to be some adversity for this team. They're not going to go. They're not going to start 14-2 in SEC play probably. So it's just a good start for this team. Yes, you could have beaten UCLA. Yes, you could have beaten Southern Miss, but that's what happens in the sport. You could have also lost to Troy. You could have also lost to a game or two on the weekend to some of these teams too, but they haven't. So right now, they are number two in the country, number three in the country for a reason, because they were ranked inside the top five and they haven't done anything to prove differently at this point.
So let me ask you another question that I asked Coach O'Connor, and you're kind of hitting on it there. Are you surprised at how good the chemistry is on this Mississippi State team, considering the number of new faces on it?
Yeah, I am. We heard about that from the team in the off season, but I mean, what are they supposed to say? I think everybody, whenever new transfers come in, talk about, yeah, we're hitting it off, or we're really creating a brotherhood and all that stuff. I mean, I heard that from the Mississippi State basketball team in the off season, and we saw how that worked out. So it's not uncommon for people to come out and say, yeah, we're creating bonds with our teammates, things like that. But this team was just adamant that their strength of this team was how close they had become, and how there were so many leaders on this team that is showing up in a big way. And I th the biggest thing to me where it shows up is at some point in the game, they are just going to unload offensively. There's going to be an inning where they score three plus runs. Like that's happening every game.
Yeah, it
And to
feels
me,
like
that tells me that like this team just stays the course, and when the levee breaks, it starts rolling for this offense. And I think when you get to postseason, man, I said this back in the fall, and it's even more true now, but I think at some point this year, it's already kind of shown at times, but at some point this year, this is going to be the most difficult lineup in the country to get through. And they're going to have some games like they did against Lipscomb the other day where they're scoring 20 plus and you just cannot get them out. And they're going to be tough to strike out. They're going to have an approach that's going to be second to none. They're going to be hitting balls all over the field. They're going to hitting home runs, doubles, line drives. This is going to be the most difficult lineup in the country to get out. I still believe at some point that's going to happen. Right now, I mean, the numbers are crazy, and they haven't played enough great pitching. But how many times have we watched this team in non-conference play against that crafty left-hander that's throwing 82 and they can't hit him? I mean, they've hit everybody at this point, even arms at UCLA and Southern Miss. So I think that this offense is going to be really special when it's all said and done. One of the best Mississippi State's ever put on the field, and I've felt like that's coming since they hired Brian O'Connor, because I knew what they were going to get from approach standpoint with this hitting coach, Kevin McMullen. So the leadership on this team, the continuity, all that is going to show up in a big way as this team goes through the season, because that's whenever you really find out how close a team is, how veteran a team is when they go on the road and they play teams like Arkansas and they come up with big hits and they're staring into the face of a very difficult atmosphere. That's when you're going to really start to see the strength of this team come through, I think, this year.
You talked about trying to get through this lineup. So State 7-8-9 on Saturday batted Ryder Woodson, Blake Beavis and Bryce Chance. Woodson's hitting 333, and I mean, I don't know what the bat BIP on him is, the batting average on balls in play. It's got to be really high because all that dude does is hit lasers, and they either find a gap or they don't. But everything he hits off the bat is smoked, it seems. Beavis is hitting 429 with a couple of home runs. He's on the season. He has 9 hits and 21 at bats. And then Bryce Chance is hitting 429. He's got 42 at bats and 18 hits. I mean, his on base percentage is 537. He's not slugging very much. He doesn't hit a lot of extra base hits. He does have 4 doubles on the year, but he gets on base is what he does. That's the bottom of the order. You know, those guys are setting kind of, you know, at least one of them. If you come into the inning and it's 7, 8, 9, at least one of those guys is going to get on base, which means Ace Reese is probably going to get a chance to bat with a man in scoring position.
And this, like, people are like, well, this is the lineup I would do, and this is the lineup I would do. Like, does it really matter at
Doesn't
this point?
matter.
Whoever they put out there, like, I'm just at the point where I'm just like, I don't care. I mean, whoever they put out there is going to produce. That they're going to have at least six guys in the lineup that's going to have a big day, it seems like.
It felt like Aiden Teel was starting to round into shape too when he got sick. He's up to 280. Not only is the one guy that hasn't it hasn't clicked for him yet, but I have to believe that it will at some point. And if it doesn't, well then, okay, that means that Beavis or Valencius or maybe a Jacob Parker who Parker has one of my favorite stats on the team right now. He's batting 259, but he's hitting 667. He has 7 hits, of which five of them are extra bases. He's hit 2 singles. He has 2 doubles and 3 home runs. He has as many doubles as he does singles, and he has one more home run than he does singles on the season. So, I mean, if all he's going to do is hit tanks, that'll play for him.
I don't think that he's going to be an everyday guy for them this
No.
year, but that's a guy you can regularly get in the starting lineup. And next year, I could see him absolutely exploding.
He'll
Like
be
that,
Ace Reese
just
next
get him a
year.
little bit of playing time this year where he's like consistently hitting, and maybe not starting every day, but can you bring him in as
He'll
a
play the
pinch hitter?
midweeks. He'll play some pinch hitting and then some defensive stuff. And next year he'll be 330 with 15 to 20 home runs. I don't think you need
He's
that.
going to be a monster. I don't think there's any question.
All right. Let's get into my conversation with Coach Brian O'Connor. You heard that earlier on Sports Talk Mississippi if you were listening, but if not, we'll bring it here. All of our interviews here on the show are brought to you by our friends over at Alora Modern Wellness, who want to remind you that, you know, it's spring, means the weather's clearing up. Great time to go for a run, great time to exercise, but also a great time for recovery. If you or someone you know is working out hard, you got to remind them, hey, you got to recover just as hard. You got to keep your body fit, but you also got to keep your body feeling good. That's where Alora Modern Wellness comes in. So many different ways to make your body feel better with heat, with cold, with stretching. They've got everything there. For whatever you're doing, wherever you hurt, they can make you feel better. Give them a call at 662-268-9255, or you can visit their website, aloramodernwellness.com. You can book all of your services right there on the website if you want to do that, but you get plenty of information there as well. Alora Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Mississippi State head baseball coach Brian O'Connor. Pleased to welcome back to the show here on the Farm Bureau guest line. Check out favorites.com and go with the home team, Sports Talk Mississippi. Brian O'Connor, he on his way down to Biloxi for Mississippi State's game against Tulane a little later this week. No camera this week, so because he's, you know, he's en route. But Coach, this is the question I wanted to start off with because you kind of hit on it Thursday night after the game. You were talking about how many guys you have in the lineup, and you're trying to work out who can play where, and but you feel like everybody's attitude is really good. I asked Duke Stone about it on Saturday, and he said, there's just no bad guys in this locker room. We're all pulling for each other. You have so many new faces, including your coaching staff. Are you surprised how good the chemistry is on your team so far?
Brian, I'm actually not surprised because I've spoke about this before, just the intentionality of I believe when what I believe in and how you handle a group of young men starting from the first day, and the words that we use every day and ask them to use whether it be on the field or in conversations or talking about this program and their teammates, it ultimately comes back and rewards the group. And so it doesn't surprise me. You know, that will still continue to be challenged. But part of my responsibility is not only to be a teacher of the game and make decisions and recruit and all those kind of things, but the most important part is developing a group of young men that can work together, that enjoy being around each other, and a culture. And so it's not a surprise to me at all, because I just know what these young men are about. And also too, Brian, I tell you, through the recruiting process, we're very intentional with the things we say and the words that we use, and no guarantees, earn everything. You know, that there will be great competition here. And so I'm excited about how they've handled it. And again, there'll be challenges ahead when you lose a ball game, lose a couple of ball games in a row. Then how does it come out? Things have went pretty well for us this year, so there hasn't been too many of those moments yet. But excited, because that's an important part, knowing that we're going into SEC play.
You know, some coaches talk about all the time, and you just kind of hit on it there, but you've had a lot of success here in the non-conference portion of the schedule. That's not the case around the conference. It's just an odd year where we're seeing teams have what I would call bad losses. You might not call them that. I know coaches love to talk about one game at a time. The next game is the most important game. How do you coach your team in a one game at a time mindset?
Well, we talk about it quite often, and if we want to achieve our goals throughout the season and then be in a spot at the end of the year that we want to be in, you have to take care of the one in front of you. And I you know, I use different motivational tactics and talk to the team, whether it be after the game or send them things and group me to keep them focused on what's in front of you while you're going through the journey. That said, Brian, I also look at things of, you know, hey, who do I play today? Where do I hit them in the lineup? Not only is that what I believe it's the best for us to win that game in front of us, but also too, where are we going to be 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks down the road? And you can see some of the intentionality that with the lineup and how many guys have played. What happens, all of a sudden you have a Reed Stallman out and Aiden Teal out for a whole weekend, and your team doesn't miss a beat. And that's because there's been a number of guys that have had opportunities that you've shown confidence in. Because, Brian, injuries are going to happen. It's part of the game. And if you prepare your team the right way, you can still be in a position to handle those speed bumps that happen throughout the year.
You talked on, again, on Thursday, you were a little upset at your team about their inability to manufacture some runs, where you felt like you had a situation where, you know, you put the ball in play to the wrong side of the infield, you don't score a run there. It feels like, you know, baseball today, especially at the major league level, it's just home run or bust. How important is it still in the college game to be able to manufacture runs?
Well, it's very important. I call it more opportunistic. You know, you don't see us bunting much as a team over these first 4 weeks, other than their pressure bunts. We're actually trying to bunt for a hit versus moving a runner, right? But playing complementary, opportunistic baseball is very, very important. And that happened on Thursday, where three times we had a runner on second base with no outs, and our batter didn't move the runner to third base. Now, I'm not talking about them giving themselves up. I'm just talking to them about hitting to the right side of the field. They can hit a ball out if they want to, or hit a double. That's great. I'd love to see that. But at a minimum, we've got to be able to move that runner. Because guess what? When the arms get really, really good in our league, that's going to be an important part. to capture that one extra run in that inning. Because runs are harder to come by when there's elite level pitching. So there's lessons in that, and there's learns in that. And that's where we focus, where we're always trying to get better. It's not being critical or down on our team. It's just opportunities for them to learn the game of baseball and play good complementary team baseball.
In college sports today, we talk about, with NIL and everything else, it feels like it's more of a professional sport than any. Baseball, I feel, is a little bit isolated from that. It still feels very college, in my opinion. But this is something professional happening this week with you. You're doing a week on the road. You have a week-long road trip, basically. What are some of the challenges for you as a coach of having a week away from home?
Well, certainly, the players need to take care of their bodies and their sleep and things like that. I mean, we saw a little bit of that last week. Going to Arlington and then bussing to Southern Miss and then bussing back and getting home late at night. Listen, after the game against Tulane and Biloxi, we'll get home, geez, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and that is what it is. There's no excuses. They're young. I always say, Brian, it's harder on the coaches than it is the players. They're 18 to 23 years old. It's their lifestyle. It's okay. It's the challenges are that you got to be a little bit better on the road. You got to be a little bit tougher. You got to capture that extra run. You got to close that inning out on the mound, right? You just got to be a tick better on the road, especially in this league, to win.
6 o'clock, first pitch down there in Biloxi, in front of your fans down there on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Have you decided on who's going to start the game for you?
Yeah, well, Coach Parker and I are still talking about that. We'll decide that here on this bus ride and get that out. But whoever it is, we'll be chopping the game up and not extending anybody too much to have be at full strength going into that Arkansas series.
About 2 minutes left with you here, Coach. You're deep into your coaching career. You've won national titles. You've been to Omaha. You've done all these things. Are you, as a just personal level, are you excited to have another career first this weekend, your first SEC series?
Oh, as you asked that question, Brian, I have a smile on my face, right? I am super excited. Like, this is why you come to coach in this league or play in this league, is playing at Arkansas on the road, tough, hostile crowd. What does it take to win there? And then guess what? This starts 30 of these things. It's every weekend. And the margin for wins and losses, the margin for error is so small. And that's what's exciting as a coach or a player. You just got to be at your best every night. And that's what I'm excited about.
Last question. Have you coached a lot of 26-0 games in your career?
No, I can tell you I haven't. Gosh, we're clicking on all cylinders. And then, the thing that was most impressive about was our pitching. Duke Stone sitting there for 40, 45 minutes, however long it was, the mental toughness it takes to do that. And, we were just incredibly opportunistic and really locked in. Our approach was great. And I told the media after the game too, that I challenged the team to be their best in that game three, and boy, sure, they sure were.
Big week for Mississippi State baseball, as I mentioned. Biloxi on Tuesday, and then off to Fayetteville, a spot. I don't know if I'm, you know this, Coach. Your team has not won a series in Fayetteville since 2007. So it will be a tremendous challenge for him or your guys as they head up to take on a top 10 ranked Arkansas team. Coach Brian O'Connor, Mississippi State baseball, we appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian. Have a great day.
We'll be back in just a minute here on Sports Talk Mississippi. Coach O'Connor joins us on the Farm Bureau guest line. Good stuff from Coach O'Connor. First pitch, 6 o'clock. I asked him if he had started, picked a midweek guy. He said at the time he had not, but obviously we now know that's going to be Charlie Foster, the left-hander going for Mississippi State against Tulane. Good opportunity for him to show off and to show that he can be that quality fourth starter that Mississippi State needs. He lost his spot in the weekend rotation to Duke Stone, who's been really good in his two starts. But Foster is still a guy that. He raises this team's ceiling a lot if he's good.
If you get him right, and your four starters are Ryan McPherson, Tomas Valančiūnas, Duke Stone, and Charlie Foster, there is not a better, more talented top four starters in the league, I don't think. If those guys are all right. Now, I think the three starters on the weekend are going to be really, really solid. And they're going to give Mississippi State a chance every single weekend. Now, if you get Charlie Foster in the midweek, that's four guys that are getting you off to really good starts every single week. And they really need Foster to get going because that's a guy that is one of the most talented pitchers on the team. And you can see it, the stuff is there. It just hasn't been able to click it all together. So maybe this will be the time where he can get rolling and Mississippi State can have another option there. And at the very least, this is a guy that can help you coming out of the pen in the weekend because you've lost William Kirk for the year. Your lefty options are dwindling a little bit. So Charlie Foster really needs to get back on track and get going here for
Yeah,
sure.
you'd love for him to be able to give you like 3 or 4 innings on Tuesday, and then if he's effective, come back and give you an inning or two on the weekend. That's the best case scenario. O'Connor does say that he's not going to treat this the same way, that he has. He'd like to extend guys a little bit more and not go through as many guys in this game, trying to keep him fresh for the weekend. All right, let's move into a spring positional breakdown. Let's talk some football here. This is gonna be a little. We got some football talk this week. I'm excited about that, and that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. We don't have baseball at Duty Noble Field for another week. Next game at home is on the 17th. That's a long time to go without smoked wings. I'll just be honest with you, and I don't like that, not one bit. But when I get back to Duty Noble Field, you can rest assured that I'll be making a beeline for the concession stand to get my smoked wings, or I could just always just go by Two Brothers Smoked Meats and enjoy the smoked wings there, or enjoy some pork rind nachos or some prime ribs. Yeah, some prime rib sandwich, or my favorite, the chicken chipotle tacos. Again, there's so many great options up and down the Two Brothers menu. You'd be a fool not to enjoy a trip to Two Brothers this baseball season. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. You need technology for your business? Give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, guess what? Same people, same number. You know them, they know you. No questions asked. Great service after the sale. It's easy to get when you work with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Is the place to go. Here in Stanford, there's only one place that has the biggest and best selection of Mississippi State gear, and that's Maroon & Co. They've got stuff you cannot find anywhere else. All the best name brands, all the logos that you want, all the designs that you want, shirts, polos, pullovers, hats. It's all right there for you at Maroon & Co. Use the promo code THUNDER15 to take 15% off regular price. That's in-store or online at maroonandco.com. Before you go to your next Mississippi State baseball game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, where I will be in about a month. Looking forward to that. We will be back at Scruggs for a full remote with Sports Talk Mississippi and with Thunder and Lightning. It's only a Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to talking to the good folks at Scruggs. And they want to remind you that, hey, guys, it's spring, all right? We're not messing around anymore. It's spring out there. You got to get out there. You got to mow the grass. That's just the way that it's got to be, fellas. And if you haven't already, you need to make the trip to Scruggs to find out what kind of great deals they've got going on right now. And they've got great deals going on. They've got fantastic deals going on. 0% financing for as many as 70 months. Guys, it'll be like, I don't even know if that's a real year, how far out that is. So if you need a new John Deere mower, commercial mower, you need a new John Deere compact tractor, a new John Deere Gator, the place to get is Scruggs. They have what you want for less at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo. If you own land, your timber could be one of your biggest assets, and knowing how to manage it can make a huge difference. That's where the good people at Good Hope Land and Timber come in. They help landowners get the most value from their property through timber buying, forest management, thinning and harvesting, all done safely and responsibly. That's what like I always say, they're experts in their field. They can be experts in your field. Their experienced crews follow industry standards to protect your land while maximizing your return. If you're wondering what your timber might be worth, or you're planning your next harvest, give the folks at Good Hope Land and Timber a call at 601-442-9888 or look them up on the web at ghope.com, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, and as I brought up the other day, that is a Mississippi State company through and through. If you are a Bulldog and you are a landowner, Good Hope Land and Timber wants to earn your business and show you why they are locally trusted and landowner approved. All right, we did the offensive line. We kind of came back to it yesterday. We got questions there, a lot of questions. And then we got the same number of questions with fewer players, obviously, at this tight end position. Sato Traore, on to the next stop for him. And now for Mississippi State, this is a very unproven room. Sam West, who in his fleeting moments last year, I thought looked okay. I thought he looked like a competent player. They bring in Riley Williams out of the transfer portal, a guy who was highly recruited out of high school but has not done very much so far in his college career. We're talking about a guy with a career 16 catches. So just I don't expect too much from him. The third string tight end may very well be either a redshirt freshman that we haven't seen much of, or even a true freshman, a guy like Zayon Cotton, who could come in, and if he's ready to go early, you don't have a physical talent like him listed at this position. When Levy's offense has been really good, he's had a tight end that he could rely on. I thought Traore was okay the past, but he had 30 catches last year, 5 touchdowns. That's nothing to sneeze at. But the big plays from the tight ends that we've seen so many times at Ole Miss and at Oklahoma, where they throw the ball to the tight end and there's just not anybody in the screen with them, that has not come to pass yet at Mississippi State. Can it be? Is there a guy in this room right now that can be that kind of player for Mississippi State?
Yeah, I mean, just jumping off the page is Zayon Cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a guy that there's nobody like him in the room. And he was one of the most talented players in this signing class. If you look at the size and the athleticism, 6'5", 230, plays like a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably going to be that transition period where he has to get used to working inside the SEC. I mean, he was playing at Grenada High School, just a few months ago. But got in early, was in bowl camp with Mississippi State. He's already here for spring practice. That's going to be huge for him. And that will be the difference between him getting on the field this year and not. If he does, it'll be the fact that he got here early.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the skill set there and what he can do, that's certainly a guy that at some point, you know, could be a dynamic receiving tight end for Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of these options I feel like are going to be good blocking tight ends. I think Sam West is going to be able to block on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. I think Joseph Skipworth, he played in the bowl game for Mississippi State, and that's a guy that I know John Cooper likes a lot. All these guys are about anywhere from 6'4 to 6'5.
Mm-hmm.
They have the body to get out there and block, but they can also show some athleticism too. You won't see Adam Land this year. He's recovering from a torn ACL.
Yeah.
I doubt we see much of Luke Hutchinson, the freshman. If there's a freshman that comes out of that group, I got to think it's going to be Zayon Cotton.
Right.
And then we'll see on Riley Williams. But, you know, I don't know what comes for this group this year. I don't know if it's going to be a pleasant surprise or just, you know, an okay group that you just don't see much from a receiving perspective. Mm-hmm. Sam West, I thought, came along as the year went on last year, and maybe year two, you start to see that jump. We talked the other day about players from year one to year two in a system out of the transfer portal and the jump that they can make. Could this be a big jump from Sam West? I think it needs to be, or he could be a guy that next year gets passed by Zayon Cotton. I mean, Zayon Cotton's just too talented.
Mm-hmm.
So this needs to be a good year for him, I feel like. And like I said, I thought he was coming along. They used him a lot as the season went on last year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he's able to get things rolling.
And it's interesting you talk about blocking, because we'll just come out and say it, not a great run blocker at all. You know, gave you some things in the passing game, but his run blocking – less some things to be desired. With Kamario Taylor being a bigger running threat, bringing back Fluff Bothwell, I feel like State is going to be run heavy this year. And they need the help on the offensive line. So keeping that guy in a little bit and letting him help in the running game is not the worst idea in the world, for sure. Maybe you don't have the versatility, but at least in the basic stuff that you want to do, you can do that if you can get a little bit better blocking at the point of attack. Because, like I said, with Traore, it just wasn't there as often as you would like it to be. Is Cotton the kind of guy? I mean, it's been a while since Mississippi State has had a real game changer at tight end. Would you say? I mean, you think about it, the air raid obviously didn't have one under Mullen. I mean, Jordan Thomas was a good player for Mississippi State, but I wouldn't call him a game changer. By Malcolm Johnson, maybe the best example. He was a really consistent player, but you may have to go all the way back to like a Reggie Kelly or a Donald Lee to find a guy who was a real true game changer for Mississippi State at the tight end position. Does Cotton have that kind of ceiling for you?
Yeah, for sure. I think he does. I think that's a guy that, I mean, he plays like a wide receiver. You look at the size that he has, that's a real cheat code when you have a guy like that that can play inside and that can make some dynamic plays and be a little bit of a mismatch for teams there. That's the kind of players that they need at these skill position spots. And I think that he certainly brings that to the table. The big question is going to be, can he help Mississippi State on the perimeter blocking? Because I think they need somebody that can do both of those things, that can be a dynamic tight end, pass catcher, but they also need somebody that's not going to be a liability on the perimeter that can open up some holes for them in the run game, because the offensive line's just complete unknown right now. And you need all the help that you can possibly get at that spot, just blocking for the running back. So and blocking down the field too, when somebody catches the football. So yeah, I mean that's going to be the real question for me. I think that he's going to be okay as a pass catcher. The real question for me is, how quickly does he pick up the offense and pick up all the little things that he has to do to be a successful tight end?
It's an exciting young player. I'm hopeful to see a little bit of him. I just don't know what to make of the tight end position. Like if like we said last year, that Traore had 30 catches. If you said over under on 30 catches from the tight end from your top tight end this year, I would take the under on that. But maybe you find more catches at the wide receiver position. I don't know the answer. Maybe you just run the football more. That would be just fine by me. But we shall see with this. We'll switch gears next week. We'll switch over to defense. And Zach Arnett's first year there, and a lot of new faces. And we'll talk about the defensive line when we come back next week. All right, tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what to do. Send us the questions, we will answer them. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Holler if you hear me!
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.